This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morris, and this week we're talking some Bates hoops with our Bobcats of the Week as the women's and men's basketball teams win a combined 4-0 over the Thanksgiving break. Plus, it's time to preview the track and field and women's squash seasons. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's basketball team is 5-1 on the season and ranked 22nd in the Women's Basketball Coaches Association Top 25 poll after a pair of road wins last week. It all started Tuesday with an 80-58 win over the University of Southern Maine. Then the Bobcats smothered the University of New England on Sunday, holding the Nor'easters to just 17.2% shooting in a 65-36 victory. Sophomore guard Sarah Hughes was named the Maine Women's Basketball Coaches Association Co-Player of the Week for her efforts as she tallied her first career double-double in the win over the Huskies and followed that up with a game-high 11 points on 4-of-6 shooting against the Nor'easters. However, our female Bobcat of the Week is junior guard Sophie Spolter, who is having a breakout campaign so far this year for the Bobcats. She tallied 15 points on 6-of-10 shooting against the Huskies, then she scored 8 points and grabbed a career-high 14 rebounds against the Nor'easters. And for the first time, Sophie Spolter joins the Bobcast. Well, first of all, Sophie, I'd like to talk about the defensive effort you all put up there against UNE on Sunday. I mean, you held them to 17% shooting. So what was working so well defensively for the Bobcats?
Yeah, I think a focus for us was kind of like limiting their offensive rebounds. And, well, honestly, they still got a lot of offensive rebounds. But I think we like really kind of focused on securing boards, talking on defense. We walked through some of their offenses that morning too, and we just like really have been focusing on like talking and communicating switches and stuff like that, and I think we did a good job of that.
So you're a guard, but you had 14 rebounds there against UNE. Obviously they didn't shoot particularly well, so that's part of it, but what allowed you to get so many boards as a guard?
Honestly, it did not feel like that many. I remember the first board I went to go get, they like stole it from me, and I was like, oh, like that sucks. So like I was kind of trying to focus on going to get the ball, and just like I said, they got a lot of O boards, so kind of trying to limit that too and just like really focusing on it.
Wow, you're a junior now already, aren't you?
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah, so I mean, but take us back, you're from Ohio, so how did Bates get on your radar, you know, in high school and stuff?
I always kind of knew about the NESCAC because a few kids from my high school came here to play sports, and so yeah, just like looking at schools in NESCAC and just coming to Bates, talking to coaches, talking to some of the current players, and like everything just fit and like best choice ever. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, offensively for you, I feel like it really started to click last year in NESCAC play in particular. What prompted kind of that light switch to almost turn on for you? Because you were the best shooter on the team during NESCAC action.
Definitely like confidence stuff in the beginning of the year and just kind of like talking with coach and just like her kind of reassuring me like that she believes in me and that I need to believe myself more and just like kind of choosing to do that and like not, you know, just like kind of just do it. You know, you just have to do it, I guess.
And the mid-range jumper is something, do you work on that a lot?
Yeah, definitely. And in practice and stuff, I like mid-range. Like I'll shoot threes, but I like mid-range a lot more.
And then this year, you know, with the graduation of like Davina Kabantu, Morgan Candy, some guards who played a lot, and Allison Candy, who started last year also, how has your role kind of pivoted or changed, if at all, this year? I mean, you're starting, but besides that, like, what's your role? Similar or different than last year, I guess?
Well, we only have one senior, like, Eros.
Right. Yep.
So I think coach has been trying to talk to our class a lot, like the junior class, about like being more of a leader and being more like of a vocal presence. And like, we kind of don't have space to like worry about ourselves and like our confidence. Like, we kind of have to be more, you know, level. Like same with Arrows, like we just have to be more level and just kind of like help the underclassmen and like boost their confidence.
And you're on the ball a lot. I mean, you're point guard basically, yeah. Right? I mean, and Sarah Hughes has also played a lot of point guard. So how's that dynamic work with you two out there on the court?
I love playing with Sarah. She's awesome. It's just like whoever's closest to the ball brings the ball up, yeah, the court. Like there's never any like, you know, you do this. Like there are some sets, like yesterday we were doing a set where like Sarah would come up for like a shot or like to look into the put, to look into Elsa in the post. So like I would have the ball for that, but just that's like pretty much it. Like it's pretty interchangeable.
Excellent. And then, I mean, just for this team as a whole, kind of coming off a Sweet 16 appearance last year where I feel like everyone felt like it could have gone even further, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, what's been the team's mentality this year? What are some themes, you know, the team has been emphasizing, you know, in practice to take this to the next level even?
We have three values: limitless, poise, and hungry. Mm. I feel like we're pretty hungry. Like, we, that 1 point, like, it's just 1 point. Losing by 1 point, it sucks. And, like, we want to get back there again. We know we can. We want it. We're so hungry, and I think that's kind of fueling us.
Big week this week, right?
Yeah.
They're not NESCAC games, but they're important.
Yeah.
Hosting huge Colby games at Bowdoin. What are your thoughts on these two games coming up?
I mean, they're two really good teams, but so are we. And I think if we just, you know, communicate like we did defensively yesterday and, like, shoot the ball the way we've been shooting, I think we'll be okay.
I mean, Colby, obviously, two close games last year with them. What makes them a tough opponent, perhaps?
They're good. Like, same with Bowdoin. Like, they're both really good teams. And I think we have to play good defense, honestly. You know, rebound the ball, communicate. But I think we're definitely capable. We're going
to
do it.
Yeah, and since that close loss to Albertus Magnuson, you've basically blown every team you've played out. So what made that loss maybe a pivot point for you in terms of, you know, adjustments the team made, perhaps?
That day, we didn't have a great day. We didn't shoot well. But I think that happening as early as it did is, like, good for us and just kind of, like, learning from that. And I think we've gotten so much better since then. And, I just think that's kind of fueling us. Like, we don't like losing. I mean, no one does.
But, right.
Like, just, yeah, that feeling sucked after that game.
And how have you seen yourself, you know, grow as a basketball player since you first stepped on campus, perhaps? Just kind of big picture.
I've just kind of become more confident and, like, trying to, like, be more of a vocal presence, I guess, like I said earlier. Because, like, our leadership last year was so good. And, like, A-Rose obviously can't do it by herself. Like, nobody can do that by themselves. So, like, just trying to help A-Rose and the junior class, like, leading and stuff. I think that's a big part of it.
I love the photo you took during Sportrates where you're all lifting A-Rose up in the air. Yeah. Right? Is that kind of a metaphor for, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, our senior captain.
What is her leadership like?
Oh, she's a great leader. She's always so consistent on the floor, like, defensively. Like, she's always guarding the best player. Offensively, she's can blow by anybody. She's a great passer. Like, she's been really solid and really good this year.
In practice, do you have to, like, go up against her sometimes, or how does that go?
Usually I guard kind of the smaller guards, like Angel, Sarah.
Right.
But, yeah, like, guarding her is definitely tough when I do have to.
So you have to guard Sarah in practice.
Yeah.
So what's that like?
Oh, it's brutal. She's so good. But I mean, we just guarding everybody, like, everybody's good. Like, we just make each other better every day. We go at it. And I think that's what makes us, like, successful, is how hard we practice too.
You know, this is kind of an interesting time of year because it's not, you know, NESCAC play, you know, it's every weekend, you know, two games.
Mm-hmm.
This type of year, you know, your games are a little bit more spread out kind of. What's that kind of like in terms of preparing for every team?
Well, at least this week we have, like, game, practice, game. So this is kind of more like it. But usually we kind of prepare for the team, like, the day before or, like, the day of if it's a later weekend game. So I think kind of just focusing, like, on our next opponent is, like, really helpful for us.
I asked Elsa about this, but not to look too far ahead, but on December 21st, you're playing University of Maine in Orono.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I can't wait. Like, it's going to be such a fun game. Like, I'm so excited, and I really believe, like, we could beat a D1 team. Like, I have full belief in that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, D1, D3, you don't see that matchup very often.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you been looking at UMaine's games yet or anything like that, or no?
No, I haven't really been looking at it. But as we get closer, I think I'll look more into it. But, yeah, we're going to do the same thing the Buckeyes did last year in March Madness. They beat Maine.
Yeah, I think they beat them by a fair amount. But then I guess, your thoughts on the season so far? Obviously, 5-1 start, where the team is at. You know, anything else you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about?
Not really. I'm so excited for what's to come. Like, I know we've already gotten so much better, and I know, like, how much potential everybody on our team has. I'm just really excited.
Excellent. The Bobcats went 2-0 this past week, 5-1 on the year, looking to, as Elsa said, beat the state of Maine. Victories over St. Joseph's and Hudson earlier, Southern Maine, University of New England. Now we got Colby and Bowdoin this week. Sophie Spolter, our female Bobcat of the week, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The men's basketball team also went 2-0 last week, knocking off previously unbeaten Southern Maine in Gorham on Tuesday by a score of 68-66. Then they went to Thomas College on Sunday and defeated the Terriers by a count of 82-67. Bates is now 2-4 on the year, and sophomore forward Babacar Pui was a big reason they were able to get their first two victories of the season, tallying 11 points and 9 rebounds against the Huskies, and following that up with a dominating effort against the Terriers, as he finished with a season-high 23 points on 9 of 11 shooting and 9 rebounds. And Babacar Pui is our male Bobcat of the week. Well, Babacar, big week for the men's basketball team. Southern Maine, you know, that game, you guys had to hang on there at the end. Take us through kind of the nerves maybe going down the stretch trying to hang on there against the Huskies and prevailing.
Going into that game, we knew we had to get a win. Start off 0-4, not the start we wanted, but, you know, kind of coming down the wire, I think it was 61-66. I was 1-2 from the free throw line. We were up by 6, felt a little bit comfortable, but, you know, followed the jump shooter, they got 3 free throws. So coming down, it was a bit stressful. We knew we had to get the win, though. Fortunately, they missed the last shot. That was really, we were just really hoping it wouldn't go in at the end, but we ended up prevailing. We kind of, like, flipped our mindset. A lot of times, we feel like we're, like, playing not to lose, but, you know, in basketball, you got to play like just to win. So that's kind of the mindset we had to like adapt and like flip ourselves to kind of just like go with towards the end of the game. So, yeah.
What was going through your mind as that last shot went through the air? Was it like slow motion or what was it?
It kind of was. The ball was moving super fast. Like The dude went downhill. They swung it one more. Brady Saunders was wide open for the 3, but just went in and out. It was a pretty stressful moment, but thankfully it rimmed out.
Now, Southern Maine entered that game undefeated, but you guys had beaten them last year. Did that give you guys any extra confidence, or did last year not even matter?
For me, it did a little bit. Yeah. That was my first college win, so yeah. I wanted to be 2-0 against them so far in my career. I had a feeling we could handle them, and I had a pretty tough matchup with Bryce Lawser. So coming into the game, I knew I had to step my game up a little bit. I was a little flat in the first half, but second half I had to come and bring it, so... definitely beating them last year gave us a little confidence, but them being 4-0 kind of made us know like we can't slack off a little bit, you know.
Certainly, and then we're talking on Monday, so yesterday against Thomas College, you had a big game, 23 points, 9 rebounds. I think you were 9 of 11 from the floor. Take us through that game. What was working so well for you?
I was honestly able to use my size a lot more. I feel like get downhill. I think I had a decent amount of offensive rebounds. I was able to get on the glass, get some putbacks, but. You know, I think just being able to use my size down low and my creativity down low alongside my passing ability creates a lot of opportunities for my teammates to score on top of me to get my easy buckets down low. So I just feel like making sure my positioning is good, I'm staying low, just being able to get to the rim like when I can and being smart about how I do it. I mean, playing within the flow of the offense always helps me get my points in the basket.
Yeah, and I mean, this year, you're a sophomore. It seems like you've been real focal point of the offensive attack. I mean, the Huston game, you led almost single-handedly a comeback there in the second half. What's that like to be such a focal point of the offense? I mean, you were definitely had a big role last year, but I feel like this year they're really going to you a lot.
It definitely feels like a lot more pressure on me, but it kind of feels good, honestly, knowing my coaches believe in me, my teammates believe in me, everyone believes in me to be able to do my job, be able to do what I can do, like, day in, day out. I just feel like being able to keep my confidence up throughout the day and making sure, like, I know what I can do and, like, reaffirming myself in that, like, I'm confident when I'm able to achieve out on the court makes me confident when I go out there so I can keep doing those things and keep producing the way that everyone else expects me to on top of just, like, the way I expect myself to.
Yeah, and as a sophomore, what are some big adjustments maybe you've made last year? You got a full season in. What were some things you learned that you're applying to this year, perhaps?
I think last year... one thing I lacked a lot was kind of just like the IQ, I feel like, just knowing like certain players' tendencies and honestly also a lot of strength. I feel like I wasn't as strong last year, so I'm able to defend the post a lot better. And also my athleticism gotten a little bit better. I'm getting a lot more blocks than I was last year. So being able to also like within the flow of the defense, knowing when I can and can't give help defense and like help my teammates on their beat and stuff like that. Also my shooting ability a little bit more. I'm shooting a little bit better from three than I was last year. And also making sure that I have, like, more, like, go-to moves. I stick to, like, more, like, two or three moves from the post rather than, like, trying to, like, do a whole bunch of stuff. And, yeah, I feel like that kind of helped me a lot kind of navigate my improvement throughout the year.
Well, I think, you know, the three-point shooting in particular, I feel like that started to click late last season, and it seems like teams now, they have to respect that, right, with you. And how has that changed things a little bit when, you know, the Bates big man can shoot it from outside?
Yeah, when I can, like, stretch the floor a little bit, definitely opens the game a lot more, opens the paint a lot more for our guard to, like, be able to cut and stuff like that. So with, like, the pick and pop, it allows me for, like, gives me a lot more creativity. I can, like, kind of work off the dribble if I want to, or just, like, shoot it from, like, deep, or, you know, get into, like, a ball screen action if I want to. So it kind of gives me a lot more freedom to play freely from the wing, which, like, I really appreciate and, like I really value. So kind of keeping like, my stock high in that area and making sure people respect that so I can, like, kind of play freely the way I envision myself playing.
Well, we're talking on Monday, as I mentioned. So tomorrow, Tuesday, when people listen to this, you're going to have a big game against Bowdoin right here at Alumni Gym, as part of a doubleheader, women's and men's, actually. The men play the second game tomorrow night. I'm just curious, you know, non-conference game against Bowdoin, obviously it's very important, a rivalry game. What are your thoughts in terms of how this might give you guys a better idea of where you're at?
Bowdoin, historically, I haven't had great stat lines against them the past two times we played them, but I think this will definitely help us measure where we're at as a team, because we've played some pretty good, solid teams, but Bowdoin, being one of our NESCAC rivals and being also in the NESCAC, definitely going to give us a good measuring stick of where we're at. We've played some of the same opponents. Some of our outcomes have been similar, some a little bit different, but it's definitely going to be a war, I feel like, and I think whichever team wants it more is going to take it home. But I believe in our team, and I think we have the capabilities of taking it home tomorrow.
Well, it's also a chance to knock off a second undefeated opponent, right? Because Bowdoin hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to doing that, hopefully. Yeah, that would definitely help make up for the losses we had last year.
I'm curious about, you know, you have a new assistant coach this year. He's very passionate on the sideline. What's it like having him, you know, being in the mix this year?
No, I honestly love it. He definitely helped me get a lot better, helped me improve my three-point shooting. I help me get my confidence up, reminds me of the things I'm good at, things I should stick with, things I should, like, kind of, like, do less of. So having him out there is honestly amazing. I think he definitely gets our bench riled up, gets, like, really, like, the points of emphasis we need to focus on when we're in the game. He really makes sure we hear it. I'm sure, as you can tell on the sidelines. he makes sure we hear it, makes sure we, like, implement it right away, and we, like, just stick with the things that we need to keep doing. Especially on, like, defense. He keeps harping on us on defense, making sure we're in our spots, in our gaps, rebounding the ball, all that kind of stuff. And he holds us to a really high standard, which is something that I think we really need. So by him holding us to a high standard, we just keep trying to play better and, like, keep doing things we know that we can do on a high level.
I know rebounding has been a big emphasis, and Adrian Scheibels, former women's basketball coach at Bowdoin, who's now, of course, associate athletic director here, she's been helping out also for some home games and for some away games within Maine. What's it like having her? Because she had so much success, obviously a Final Four type coach.
No, she's amazing, honestly. Definitely gives a lot of good insight that, like, I don't initially see. Like, she'll tell me, like, oh, you got to seal here, or you got to, like, hit him here, get the, like, and then go for the rebound. It's honestly amazing. She brings a great aura to the team. A lot of the guys, we all love her, honestly. And she definitely helping us get better from an IQ standpoint, just from, like, honestly, like, overall standpoint.
Great. So, like, I mean, moving forward, what are some points of emphasis? I mean, what do you want to see from yourself? What do you want to see from your teammates starting, you know, Tuesday against Bowdoin?
I'll start
from
myself. I feel like I definitely need to rebound a bit better and try to protect the rim a little bit better. I'm not worried about my scoring too much. I mean, I try to get it done whichever way I can. But honestly, just focusing more on defense and rebounding the basketball. I think overall for my team, I feel like our level of compete needs to stay at a certain level. And, like, our execution level needs to, like, match that. And, like, just not having, like, little lapses of when teams go on runs, like, letting other teams go on runs on us and stuff like that. So I definitely just feel like keeping it level and making sure that we can maintain that level throughout the whole game.
Excellent. Men's basketball team, they've won two games in a row. They've got Bowdoin Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. right here at Alumni Gym. A couple non-conference games this weekend at Tufts. Brandeis Saturday at 4 o'clock. Rochester Sunday at 2 o'clock. And then their next home game after that will be December 30th against St. Joseph's before we get into the new year. Babacar Pouy, our male Bobcat of the week. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
The men's squash season is already underway, and this weekend, the women's squash season begins in Boston as the Bobcats take on Connecticut College on the campus of Northeastern University this Friday at 3 p.m. Then they play Denison on the Harvard University campus Saturday at 1 o'clock before wrapping up their opening weekend Sunday at Trinity with their match against the Bantams also set for 1 p.m. Team captains Grace Flaherty and Tia Billamaria join the Bobcast to preview the season. Excited to preview the women's squash season with our two captains, senior Grace Flaherty and sophomore Tia Billamaria here on the Bobcast. And Tia, let's start with you because you're just a sophomore. The team votes for captains. What's it like to get that leadership role, as an underclassman? Kind of rare, right?
Yeah, I think super rare. It's obviously a very big opportunity for me. It's also a very big responsibility as a sophomore, but I have Grace as a co-captain, and she was a great captain last year, and I learned a lot from her and Andy. So, yeah, I'm excited. Also, I was very nervous coming into it, but the team is great, so no complaints.
And Grace, being a senior and being one of the captains again, I mean, tell me a little bit about, what your goals are, from a leadership perspective this year, working with Tia to lead this team.
Well, I think last year was a little strange just because I came into the season coming from abroad.
Right.
So it was like kind of a team of like fully new people that I didn't know. And I was also like a captain, so that was really weird. But it ended up working out really well. I feel like we all meshed like really easily from the get. And kind of same thing this year too. We have a ton of new freshmen who are all awesome. And that's very lucky that we have four new freshmen who are like all very hardworking and like ready to get after it, which is great and good for like such a small team. And I guess like my goals for this season is like, I don't know, I think since it's a very young team, I'm really excited to see like where the freshmen and the sophomores right now, like how they do, where they go. And I think that we have a ton of potential this season to do very well because of that, because we have my old high school coach would call it fresh meat. We have fresh meat on the team. So yeah, that's awesome. I'm pumped.
Excellent. And Tia, you were a first year last year. So what do you tell these four first years about what it takes to succeed in college squash? Because I know it's very different from, juniors and stuff like that, right?
Well, I think everyone comes with their own experience.
Yeah.
I think I came with my own experience. I think me being international was a different thing as well. I think this year we have one international. Mm. And that is different. In my batch, we were also six of us. So these are four of them. But keep your head down, do the work, put in that hard work, and you'll get there. Wherever you are, you play your number, you do really well. And we win as a team, we lose as a team. And that's how we've always looked at it. And I think that's how they should look at it as well. And we have told them that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Grace, you're playing at number two this year?
I am playing number two.
So is that the highest you've ever played?
I think so. Definitely a jump from last semester. I think I was six last semester. Yeah, so kind of awesome. Definitely like a lot of responsibility, I would say, even though each position matters exactly
right.
The same. I do think like at least in past years, the people who play higher like hold a level of like not seniority, but like you have to like
responsibility.
Yeah, responsibility. you have to be very like aware of like how hard you're working just because you set an example for the rest of the team. But honestly, like in my opinion, I don't think it matters where you play on the team. Like, you could play last and you could set a higher example than whoever plays one. Like, it doesn't matter. It's very much a collective experience with the squash team.
Definitely everyone has to contribute the same.
Yeah.
When you play, it could be you could win at any number. We could be four all and number nine could win, number one could win. And I think we had great examples last year as well with Andy. Andy, for how many years before I even came, she was one and
yeah.
She was solid.
She was our solid one.
She was solid. And then you had Nabia last year at two. Mm. And then she will step up as one. And, she'll do a fantastic job as well.
Yeah. So.
Excellent. And then, you got three matches this weekend.
Yeah.
Like playing Conn College at Northeastern. You're playing Denison at Harvard and then at Trinity. So some different locations. What are your thoughts on this upcoming weekend? Three matches in 3 days, Grace.
I think it, comes down to, recovery,
yeah.
I would say. playing that many matches in the span of 3 days is a lot. And even though, like, it is, like, just, like, in total, I would say, like, a little under 3 hours of actual movement, I think the recovery of this weekend is what's going to matter most, especially after, like, recovery and also preparation before the matches. Like, what comes within it is honestly kind of mostly dependent on how you prepare and how you recover after the prior match. But, yeah, I think just, like, kicking off the season, this is more just, like, to see where we're at and, like, what we need to work on. But I'm really excited.
And then you get, like, a month plus of recovery after these three,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we're going to see where we're at as a team, I would say, this weekend. And then over the next month, we can work on the stuff that we need to work on from this weekend. So.
Yeah, Tia, what are you looking forward to this weekend in terms of seeing perhaps where you're at on the court and whatnot?
Personally, I think it's good practice. I think coming into the season. Season is extremely busy.
Yeah.
It's stressful when you look at academics as well along with it. But it's a fun season to look at. I'm also very excited for the freshmen. Mm. These three matches will be, I wouldn't say a test, but it will be a very good introduction into college squash for them. So you have Khan, you have Denison, and you have Trinity, variety of different levels as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good introduction for them. And for us, I think it will be, I think the upperclassmen and the underclassmen are very excited to sort of go back on court.
Yeah.
It's, I'm not going to lie, last week when the men's team was playing and I was watching through the live stream, I was like, oh my God, my season's not started
right,
yet.
Right, right.
But we're all super excited and I genuinely loved my season with them last year, my first season, so I hope this year will be even better. So, yeah.
Now, last year, after the December, after the fall matches and before the January matches, there was some sort of training trip for the first time or training. Is that happening again?
I don't believe we're doing another trip to another state. We are back at Bates here.
Okay.
We will train here. I'm sure Rye has a very solid plan for us. I've seen the schedule, it's morning and afternoon training, which is good. I think we need that. And as someone like me who like really likes to do my proper training sets, I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, it'll be really fun. And I think, yeah, last year we enjoyed Florida, but over here, because we come back to a really grueling, busy season.
People might look at the schedule and see, oh, there's like more than a month between matches, but it's not time off, right, Grace? It's focused on training.
Yeah, I would say like, I think in past years, my sophomore year, I kind of slacked off, I would say, the winter break. And that hit me hard when I came back, like bad. So this is not the time to slack off for sure. So yeah, if you've got like a treadmill or a road to run on or a court, you got to use it this break because it's important because we go straight into like weekend after weekend.
Yeah. Tia, you mentioned being very particular with your training methods. What's kind of your routine?
Like Grace says, recovery is very important. Mm-hmm. I am a little bit more meticulous and more type A than maybe Grace is.
Yeah, true.
So I like to have those like training, like to work on particular things or like backhand, forehand, working on drives or drops or whatever. And I like to have that regimen before I go into a match and be very clear of where we are. I feel like we've done well this year compared to maybe last year to make sure like everyone is set and ready for matches and we're going in prepared to be like, last season was, I thought we had a good season last year, improve on that, have a better season and be really, really solid. Like I have been a little bit like to the whole team to be like, this is what we have to do. We have to do it. But I mean, it comes from a place of love. we all have to sort of contribute and push, and that's the only way to grow, in my opinion. But yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Grace, as a senior, I mean, when you look ahead to the season, you envision like the possibilities. What do you kind of look at? What do you kind of see as some goals, for yourself and for the team?
Well, I've been playing squash since I was like 7.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I'm feeling emotional about it. Like, I've put so much of my life into the sport and like where I like took it away from other parts of my life to like really focus on this. So this is like, I would say for on a personal level, this is like my like final like push to like really see what I can do, which is exciting, but also like kind of scary. But I think on a team wise, I would say that I just want us to like, I mean, this is more just like me and Tia's captaining style. I want everyone to like have a good time because I really do feel like the teams that like have a good time and don't let what happens on court, like, eat them alive outside of the court, those are the teams that are the healthiest and do the best. And I would like that to be the case for our team. but also like focus up and do our best. But I think that having that balance is really good. And I think Tia and I honestly do a really good job of having the balance of like know when it's time to be silly and know when it's time to like lock in.
Excellent. Well, Tia, any other thoughts you want to share about the upcoming season we haven't got to talk about yet, perhaps?
Saying to what Grace said, the seniors, that we have three seniors. We have Danny, Dana, and Grace. Mm-hmm. And we've said it all season. We want to give them a really, really good send-off because the ending of your 4 years in college squash or just it's the end of your squash journey in a way. Like I've said it, I want to give them a really, really good send-off to be like, we did well. Thank you for everything you've done. And, you know, we look forward to what you're going to see and what you're going to do next. But, yeah, overall, I'm very excited for the season. I think we both are super excited to see where the team goes. But, yeah, I mean, I hope we do really well this year, and I hope we give Bates a few really good results to talk about.
Yeah. You want to add anything, Grace?
I'm excited. I think this is – I really do think this is going to be a good season.
We're pumped.
Yeah.
Excellent. You can catch the Bobcats in Boston. They're at Northeastern University playing Connecticut College Friday at 3 o'clock. They're at Harvard playing Denison Saturday at 1 o'clock. And then if you want to go to Hartford, Connecticut, they're taking on Trinity 1 o'clock on Sunday to start the season. Tia Bellamaria and Grace Flaherty, team captains for the women's squash program. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcats. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The track and field teams head to Boston this Saturday for their season opening meets. A trio of Bobcats will compete at Boston University, while about 30 Bates athletes head to the track at New Balance. Head coach Curtis Johnson gives us the inside scoop on this year's squad. Coach, just give us kind of an idea of what you're looking for this opening weekend. I mean, the main season starts in January, but you get an early chance to see where your runners and throwers are at, right?
Absolutely, and I'm excited to talk about this team on the Bobcast. We've been preparing and, you know, over the last 5 weeks, and obviously the distance part of our team has had a great cross-country season. So to see how everybody transitions to this track season is going to be exciting. And our goal is really just to set the tone, try to see, you know, how fast, how far we can go this early on. And it'll give us a lot of perspective as we get into the new year.
About 30 athletes, so we'll see the exact number going down to the New Balance meet, and then you have three at the other one, the BU meet. So it's interesting for an athlete. I mean, it must be kind of tough when there's only two other teammates there, right? I mean, what are you hoping for those three athletes at BU, and then how fun will it be for most of the team to be down there at New Balance? Because I feel like this is a lot more athletes than you had last year going to a meet in December.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we always, when we can, traveling as a team is always important. But these early ones, sometimes it's a smaller group. The group we have over at the BU meet, I'm not too worried about. I know Michaela, she's a freshman distance runner. I remember when she was first committed to Bates, she was just at track meets watching just to enjoy it. So I'm hoping that's just one example of somebody who loves the sport, and I'm hoping that while they're there, they can enjoy the competitiveness of the meet, but also kind of focus in on their performance. Ross Tejeda did compete at that meet last year. Cal Porter's coming off a great freshman campaign. And the rest of the group's about a mile and a half down the road, so we're hoping we can just fill energy. And we do such a good job when we're split up to still be in group chats, checking in with each other and saying, hey, this person did this down the road. So, you know, even though we might have a split group, it's going to be exciting, and everybody keeping tabs on each other.
Great. Tell us about your captains this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So to start the season, actually, it's funny you say that we because the end of this week or next week, we're announcing the full group of captains as we merge the groups. But to start the season, Kevin O'Connor, Truman Williams on the men's side, Phoebe Chase, Julia Brophy, and Carly Civarelli on the women's side are going to be joined by some of our distance captains as we kind of get into the year. And we're just excited because they're veterans. They've been here during a really cool time in our program. And this year we have a lot of young people, a good group of freshmen who our captains have led the way and helped them settle in. And I'm excited to talk about the full group and just what they've been doing so far. But the captains have allowed our first 5 weeks to really be a great first training stint, and everybody's looking incredibly focused and ready for competition.
Yeah, let's go through each kind of group, right? Let's start with the sprints, which is what you coach here at Bates. Who are some sprinters who have you excited for the season so far?
Yeah, so the sprinters and the hurdlers, they're looking great, and I think that there's just a young group. A few of them are going to pop off this week, so there's a bunch, but the ones that are competing in the sprints and hurdles this weekend, I mean, there's so many. I mentioned KO and Truman as captain, so we'll see them get some early action, but you're also going to see some of the freshmen women who are, you know, some of them doing their first indoor season, like Juno Rogers or, you know, Grasa Billa, Emily Kane as a sophomore returning, coming through, and then again, just some sophomores, Evan Berthiaum, you know, Evan McDowell, who's a junior who just had a really cool breakout year in the 400 hurdles last year. There's just so many people, and the sprints and hurdles group, I would say, is a group we've been working really hard to develop over the years, not for star power, but for depth. And I think we're figuring that out nicely, so we're really excited.
Well, even this, during your tenure, we've seen Bates records fall in the sprint categories. That's must be a point of pride for you, right?
Yeah, it feels good, but it starts in practice. And so I know I've been excited knowing, like, this is exactly what it felt like when we were about to break records last year. And it was just the group pushing each other in the weight room, on the track, holding each other accountable. And I think it's really cool to say that even some of the people who have broken records can look at some of the younger teammates and say, oh, they could take my record someday. It's cliche, but I say Bobcats better together. You know, I think it's cool to see that last year we're returning a lot of record breakers, including, you know, some of the relay action. So we lost Derek Shin as a senior, who was a huge leg, but the other three legs returned back with experience for the spring 4x1. Mm-hmm. The 4x4 is returning, and I think they're going to do some great things this year. So I'm just pumped up. I'm excited to see them this Saturday.
Well, you touched on the relays, and of course, the indoor season, the big one is the distance medley relay, which of course earned All-America honors last year. You've got three of those four runners back. You graduate a pretty important piece in Ned Farrington, but I mean, I know you spend the year kind of evaluating, trying to put together a good DMR team for basically the last chance meet and nationals. Is that your strategy again this year? Kind of, you know, slowly kind of look at who's doing what in each event, kind of?
Yeah, you know, the distance medley relay is an example of, like, an event you don't have to overdo. You don't have to do it every weekend. We want to see our athletes break out and have their individual performances, and that's when the light bulb goes on and we can kind of say, hey, I think we have a relay that can do compete at this level. So similarly this year, we're going to take it one week at a time. We are returning three All-Americans on that DMR relay, which is just – got me smiling just thinking about it, but they know, right? They know what they're capable of and the work that's put in, and they also know it just was like, let's line up and go for it, and they know it can just happen in one day. I do love that about track and field, that it's not all about brackets. It's like, if you're preparing, it just takes one good performance, and that can be enough to, you know, land it, and obviously we want that to happen during the championships.
Let's talk about some of the field events in track and field. Obviously, Bates is known for the throwing events, but obviously there's other events as well. I know you have a new pole vault coach this year. Tell us a little bit about some of the field events and what we're going to see from some of the athletes.
Yeah, so Coach Rick Smith is joining us. He's somebody we are familiar with because he's worked locally. Mm-hmm. He's from the Auburn area, so we love that. And, he's also worked with local high schools as well, so we've seen him with the high schools that practice here, Edward Little. And, you know, we have a young group of vaulters that we're excited about. And on the throws side, obviously you've seen what Coach Kalina has been able to do and carry on such a strong legacy. The reason I did a little dance is because, man, I was getting some stuff ready for practice yesterday, and Carly Civarelli threw this bomb that like went over the barrier, and everybody just looked like, yo, she is ready. So that's only one example of just, you know, the energy we're seeing. You know, this year we have a lot more leadership on the women's side of throws, and last year it was more leadership on the men's side. And so it's such a nice change of pace and balance to this year. Every year has a new story, and I really cannot wait to see the throwers, the jumpers. Oh my God. Coach Feely, who's worked with our jumpers, he's got a great group of young jumpers who are just, some of them are going to compete this weekend, and they're just looking stellar. My biggest focus this year hasn't just been, are you going to work hard and practice well? That's like the classroom, right? Are you going to do your work and show up? No, I want to see your personality and see what you're about, see, you know, how you show up, a little bit of moxie and we've been seeing that from this group, and especially the youngsters on the team, who are not just training well, but they're bringing their own little bit of swag to what they do. So we're really excited about across the board and a well-rounded team this year.
Looking a little bit ahead to the new year, if you will, January, we're obviously hosting the Bates Invitational. Is that the only indoor meet we're hosting? I don't have the schedule in front of me.
So we've actually got one more this year. Okay. We're really excited about it. The Bobcat Tune-Up, it's a late February one. We always have one late February competition right before the New England Indoor Championships, and it's been hosted at Bowdoin, it's been hosted at Colby. This year we're hosting it, and we're excited because it's that last effort to tune up for championships. It doesn't mean everybody's going to compete. I mean, they may train through if they're already qualified, but it gives us another chance to compete at home. We have an impressive track. It's fast. We have a great throw circle. So to actually compete in peak shape later on in the year at home, we could see some good performances. We're used to that early January meet, and we can't wait for that Bates Invitational and Multi, of course. But we're going to have the chance to be kind of in peak shape competing in February at home, which is a really cool change for us.
Terrific. Well, anything else you want to mention about the team this year? We haven't got to talk about men's or women's.
Oh, man, I'm just excited for this first meet and, you know, people to kind of have that, you know, wake up call that, wow, Bates is, they've got some star power. Every year we see things switch up a little bit, but we have star power this year. I'm not afraid to say it. I take pride in this group, and I'm just excited for us to, you know, kick things off this weekend.
Sounds good. Curtis Johnson, head coach of Bates men's and women's track and field, head to Boston this Saturday to get the 2024-2025 season started. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Both basketball teams are in action Tuesday night at Alumni Gym, and then the women's basketball team heads to Brunswick this Thursday for a big showdown with the defending NESCAC champion Polar Bears of Bowdoin. Find the complete schedule of upcoming Bates Athletics events at GoBatesBobcats.com, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.